best illustration of that is found in the Bible's description of the church as the body of Christ. So in four New Testament books, Paul refers to the church as the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." In Romans, he writes, "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." I don't know if you knew that this morning, but you don't just belong to yourself. It's why we talk about serving one another and loving one another and forgiving one another and being patient with one another, because we belong, he says, we are members, belong to all the others. So we all belong to one another, so we're going to be kind and loving to one another. We were meant to be linked together. Then in Ephesians, Paul wrote, "And God placed all things under his feet," his meaning Jesus, "and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." And then again in Ephesians, he wrote, "It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service." So that fivefold ministry gift was given to help the church prepare to do works of service, "so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature," grown up, in other words, "attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each does its work." So we're held together by these ligaments, by loving relationships with one another. So notice that idea of connection and relationships being linked together as the body of Christ. Finally, from the book of Colossians, it's a new book I'm adding, from Colossians, "And he is the head of the body, the church." So Jesus is the head, and we, the church, are the body of Christ. We're his expression in the world. And notice this, the scriptures don't say we're like his body or that we represent his body. Instead, it makes it sound kind of mystical, but literally, we are the body of Christ. It's an overwhelming responsibility, isn't it? We don't exactly represent him very well, but we are the body of Christ. We're his body in the earth. If Jesus is going to get anything done, it's going to be through us, because we're all the body he's got. We're the only mouth and hands and feet and eyes and ears that he's got. We are the body of Christ. And notice, too, that the passage we read in Ephesians 4 speaks of us as his body growing and building itself up in love as each does its work. We're supposed to be growing. It's what healthy bodies do, right? It's why you ate Wonder Bread and ate your vegetables and ate your carrots and all that stuff that your mom told you to eat, because it's what healthy bodies need to grow. Healthy bodies are supposed to grow. And I said last Sunday, if we want to not just survive but thrive, then we've got to be a prayed up church. Well, praying isn't all there is to it. If we want to be a healthy church and not just survive but thrive, then we have to be connected to each other. So here's the first thing. Each member of the body has to be functioning as it should, making its unique contribution to the body. So if a body's going to be healthy and thriving, the parts need to be in working order. Now, we've got a wide range of ages in here, but those of us who maybe have more gray hair or whatever that have been around a little longer can tell you that parts wear out. All right, that's just how this works. Parts wear out, and the ones that don't work right, well, then that's kind of unfortunate. That's why some of us walk kind of funny. And we can get new parts now. We got replacement parts. That's a good thing, but they're not easily installed. The founder of IKEA died over the weekend. Yeah, I didn't know. And I'm not even going to say anything. I've got all kinds of images now of his people trying to put the casket together somehow. And I've got a little tool in there to get that. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know how that happened. He founded that company when he was 17. I heard that on the news. Anyway, what was that? How does that have to do with anything? See, I got distracted. Oh, parts. Well, it's all about parts. Parts wear out. I've had a few parts not work the way they're supposed to. If your gallbladder's not working right, your body can't thrive. If your back's not working right, if your hip goes out, you know, and you stay home and your hip goes out, that's not good. Those parts, oh, you want all your parts working just right. And you say, well, it's no big deal. It's just a gallbladder. It's just one little part. That one little part not working right can make your whole body hurt and sick. I remember asking, I don't have a gallbladder anymore, but I remember asking Mike McGee, my surgeon, why am I hurting back here in the middle of my back? And why is it hurt over here? And he said, you know, gallbladder can make you hurt all over. Make you think you're having a heart attack, whatever. It's just one little place in there, but one little part can affect all the rest. Each member needs to be functioning as it should. I couldn't eat and I was sick all the time, and they said, oh, your gallbladder's not functioning. Well, come on. So one part was making me feel bad all over. One part not working keeps us from thriving. And so we've got to be connected, and all the parts need to be working. If the body of Christ is going to be healthy and thrive, not just survive, we've got to have all the parts working together. Each member of the body needs to be functioning in the gifts and the anointing that God has given to each part. Not everybody's going to be a gallbladder. Aren't you thankful? Not everybody's a kidney or a heart or a lung or an eye or a thumb or a toe, but everybody has a part and a gift and a role to play and to serve in the body of Christ. So kind of nudge your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. All right. He's talking to you. That's who he's talking to. You're the big toe in this deal. All right. So I want you to understand, you've got a part to play here. You're important to the body of Christ. Everybody has a place in the body of Christ. Everyone's important to the working of the whole. We're greater than the sum of our parts. And if we're going to grow and thrive and be the body of Christ that God needs in the world, then all of us have to do our part, because we want all the parts working optimally so we can be everything we're supposed to be. There's all kinds of analogies here. Somebody told me this morning their heart had been out of rhythm. We want to get in step. We want our heart to be in rhythm. You want all your parts operating. You want everything connected, all right? You want your ligaments connected. Everything held together and doing everything he calls us to do. Paul gives us some teaching in 1 Corinthians 12 about the body. He says, the body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So we're all different. We're all distinct from one another. We're all unique. So it is with Christ, he says. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. So think now, whether male or female, or black or white or brown or whatever. And now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. So if you walk in and go, well, these look like a bunch of feet in here and I'm a hand. And so you can't turn around and go, now I'm looking for the hand, you know. No, we need all the parts, all right? So you're not part of, you don't cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? So God, Paul's celebrating diversity within the body of Christ. If we were, just imagine, if we were all just one big ear, we'd just explode because we would hear everything and not be able to say anything, and it would kill some of us. So anyway, but there is a reason God gave us two ears and only one mouth, so we would listen twice as much as we speak, is what we think. Anyway, so he says, as it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. There should be no division in the body. Its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part's honored, every part ought to rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So we could spend the next 45 minutes right here just on this passage, but just hear it again. He says there's to be no division, no rivalry, equal concern for one another. So from the least to the greatest, from the most talented to the least talented, whatever, there's equal concern because we're all part of the body. All right. So I admit that my little finger is not as important as my heart is, maybe because my heart keeps everything beating and keeps my finger moving. But, you know, I play the piano and I really hate to just have 9 of these instead of 10. That's pretty important to me. And so every part is important. You know, if you lose an ear, well, then your glasses are wonky. So there's just a lot of things there. So the point is, we're all connected together. and we're celebrating the fact that we're connected. But if there's division, if there's rebellion, we've got a problem. If parts rebel against other parts of the body, or if parts rebel against the head, we call that sickness, disease. I said first service, I rode out into the ocean there with a whole lot of physicians in first service. And I know there I think probably some physicians in this service, too. And so I'm not a doctor, but I play one on Sunday mornings. I see the slopes back there. So I got some docs here at least. But you know what? My simple explanation of cancer is that it's cells that are in rebellion against the body. Cells are supposed to live and multiply at a certain rate and die when they're supposed to. And cancer cells just go berserk and have no connection to what the body's telling it to do and multiply and grow in places they're not supposed to and refuse to die. And they're in rebellion. For us to be healthy in the body of Christ, we recognize our place, our part, and we serve Christ and we serve one another in obedience to the Lord. We're connected together, but we don't want to rebel against the other parts of the body. So in order to do this, in order to be healthy as a body, each member of the body must stay connected to the other members of the body through godly relationships. That's what Paul's talking about when he talks about the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. And he says it grows and builds itself up in love as each does its work. The joint, quoting from Without Spot or Wrinkle, my New Testament professor at ORU many years ago, I saw him a few months ago. I said, I say this every time I mention this. He used to say, modesty forbids me from mentioning the author's name of this book. And then he would quote from his own book. So modesty prevents me from mentioning the author's name. But quoting from Without Spot or Wrinkle, copies are available at the information desk. The joint or ligament is referring to the relationship that exists between members of his body. And that joint or ligament, that relationship between us, is the channel through which the life and power of Christ flows into his body. Without relationship, the church cannot function. It can't live. It can't thrive. If that ligament, so I don't know if Ty's in here or not, but he was playing guitar this morning. So he's running down the football field at Southwestern, and something happens, and you know what? His arterial crucial ligament. Is that what your ACL is? Something like that? That sucker blows out. You know what happens when your ACL blows? The parts aren't connected right, and things get wonky. And when you're tough like him, well, you can walk on back. And if you're a wimp like me, you fall down on the ground and they wheel you off the field somewhere or another because the ligament is not connected anymore. And when it's not, it's not good. Some of you, I know, will say, well, the doctor told me it's just bone on bone on that. Well, that's not supposed to be. Bone on bone is not a good thing. There's supposed to be a ligament in there that connects things, that holds it all together. So without a ligament in there, that connective tissue to hold it together, things aren't going to work right. We're not going to be able to run very fast. We're going to have to get that reconnected. Parts don't work as well if they're disconnected. They're supposed to be connected. We can't thrive without it. So it's obvious for a body to work and to function and to be healthy, the parts have to be connected. If there's no relationship, if there's no communication, we're not going to do very well. Back in 99, I fell and tore my quadricep. And so I remember finally getting to the surgeon and had me laying on the table in there. And I said to him, he said, well, you've got a torn quad. And I said, are you sure about that? And he was an older gentleman. And he said, well, can you pick your leg up off the table? And man, I strained as hard as I could, and I, you know, could get it just a quarter inch or something. I said, well, I guess no. And he said, well, then you've got a torn quadricep. Are you sure about that? Well, you can't pick your leg up. That's how I know for sure. And I said, well, you know, I'm praying. He said, we're going to do surgery and we'll reattach it. And I said, well, you know, I'm praying. He said, well, that's good. And you go ahead and pray. And so he said, and right before the surgery, we'll ask you if you can pick your leg up. And if you can't, we'll do the surgery. And if you can, well, you can go home. So anyway, so I couldn't pick my leg up and they did the surgery. So I remember getting home that day and I didn't want to try crutches. It was the house that Jeff and Marisha lived in out there after us at Rolling Oaks. So our bedroom were upstairs. And so I sat down and I scooted myself up the stairs and scooted over to the bed and pulled myself up onto the bed and reached down and picked my left leg up and put it on the bed because I couldn't pick my leg up. If your quadricep is torn, you may not have known that. You can't lift your leg. And so by the time I got it up there, and I remember laying there thinking, well, you know, if this had happened 100 years ago, I'd have just had to drag this leg around the rest of my life. Because there wouldn't be a doctor that knew how to put this thing back together. That's not good. If the parts aren't connected, it's not a good thing. You can't get around very well. It's painful and it's unpleasant and it just doesn't look very good. You want parts connected. There's got to be a relationship. And so he says we need this healthy ligament, this relationship of love that holds us together. Without it, we've got trouble. There has to be communication. There has to be relationship. When the head stops communicating with the body, there's a problem. When one part of the body won't or can't communicate or coordinate with the other parts, there's a problem. When ligaments torn or separated from the other parts, there's a problem. We've got to stay connected and linked up. Without it, we will never be able to do everything God has called us to do. So Paul makes it plain. The body's made up of all these separate parts. But understand, again, the importance of the connection. So if you've got a leg over there and an arm over there and a hand over there, you've got parts, but you don't have a body. You've got a crime scene, but you don't have a body. It's the connections that pull this all together. That's what makes the body. It's the supporting ligaments that hold it all together. So the church is all these distinct, diverse parts connected and held together in relationship with each other in love and with Christ, who is the head. So you get it. We're all connected to the head, which is Christ. And because of that, we all belong to each other. Whether we've met or not, because I'm in relationship with Jesus, the head, and you are too, then we're part of the body of Christ. But in this local church, in this local assembly, we're supposed to be connected to one another. I can't be connected with every believer in the world, but I'm supposed to be connected with you because we're here functioning in this local way as the local body of Christ at Carbondale Assembly of God. We have to know each other in order to function and thrive. The whole thing is about being connected to Christ, being in Christ, and be connected to one another. That's what the church is all about. So we're making connections this morning. You see, it's always been about relationships. God has always valued relationship. It's why Jesus died on the cross. He came to reconcile us to God so our sin that separated us from God, our sins could be forgiven, and we could then be in a right relationship with God. And it started with God being in right relationship with a people group, with a nation of Israel. But that wasn't enough for this awesome God of love and mercy. He wanted more. His love was so great that he wanted the whole world to be able to come to him in a holy relationship, not just one nation or one group of people. So as the Bible says, God was in Christ reconciling the whole world to himself, that whosoever will may come to him and find forgiveness and salvation and eternal life. And now, through His saving grace, we're all rightly related to God. We've repented of our sins. Our sins have been taken away through Jesus. He's our Heavenly Father, but that wasn't enough. He wanted us to be in right relationship with each other. And so He set us in the family of God. He set us in we're living stones, one version says, and we're placed in the wall. He built us together. We're the body of Christ, so we're linked up with each other. We're connected to one another in right relationship and in love. So John declared, we know that we've passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Jesus says, this is how the whole world's going to know that you're rightly related to me. You're going to love one another. This is how the world knows. By your fruit, they'll know. They're going to know that you love one another. John continues, if anyone says, I love God, yet he hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who doesn't love his brother whom he has seen can't love God whom he's not seen. And he's given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. It's one of the keys to thriving as a church, to love God and to love one another. It's just that simple and that profound. John, 1 John 3, verse 23 says, and this is his command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. What's God want us to do? He wants us to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and to serve Him, and to love one another. That sums it all up right there. Love God, believe in Jesus, and love one another. In the church, we fought all kinds of battles. Churches have split and divided over all kinds of issues and how we're going to baptize people and all that kind of stuff. But here's His command: believe in Jesus and love one another. And I pray Carbondale Assembly of God will be known for our love, that people can look and say, that looks like the Church of Jesus over there, because they love God and they love one another. Loving relationships at the heart of being the church, the body of Christ. So let me say it for the 15th time here. We must be connected to each other. It's through the relationships within the body of Christ that His love and His grace and His healing and His forgiveness flow into the church. We've got to be connected to each other in order to keep that life flowing and gracing the body of Christ. Now, this is the part right here where it's like, oh no, now He's going to start messing with us and telling us to do stuff, and I just hate that. It's like preaching a sermon on soul winning. Like everybody goes, I know, I need to tell people about Jesus, but I'm not very comfortable talking to other people. And so now here's the part where you're going to go, I don't know about that. So I'm just preparing you, just warning you, speed bumps are ahead. So we've got a problem. It's a great problem to have, but here's the problem. We got a lot of new people that have come to Carbondale. And we see a lot of new faces on Sunday. We see a lot of new faces on Wednesday. And here's the thing too. This is a challenge that we've got, because you know we live in America. The church has become kind of a one service kind of deal. And so, you know, a lot of churches don't have Sunday night anymore. And I don't know if they have midweek. They have like six. Now we call them experiences. We have six experiences on the weekend or whatever. So that's great. Well, good for them. So anyway. And so we're kind of people that go to church. And if you go two or three times a week, thank you. Thank you. Because I show up three times a week, and I'm happy that other people show up, all right? But it's different when nobody does. So we've got people that Sunday morning is their service, and they just come on Sunday. And then we've got people that just come on Wednesday night because that's their service. And so the Sunday people go, well, how come those people don't come on Sunday? And the Wednesday night people are going, you mean they come on Sunday? So I'm looking for ways to get everybody to kind of show up. But we've got all kinds of people that celebrate and come here to love Jesus and worship together. So we've got new faces on Sunday and new faces on Wednesday. And when we move into the new facility down here and it's all done, we're expecting more new faces, because people are going to go, hey, they finally took that ugly fence down and got that trailer out of there. Let's go see what they did inside. So more people are going to come. And here's what else is going to happen when we get back in there. Some of you are going to go, well, I don't even know where to sit now because it looks so different. I always sat underneath the sound booth that stuck out there, and they chopped that thing off. And so now I don't know. I can't orient myself. I'm not sure. And the stage looks different. We always sit. Okay, now where? And so you're going to end up sitting by people that you didn't expect to sit by, and I don't even know who those people are. And so the problem is, how do we make this connection? It requires effort. And so on any given Sunday, when new people are here, it's like, well, it's not just up to the pastors, because we can't get to everybody. So here's the thing. It requires effort, and it feels a little risky. It does, whether you've been here forever or whether you're brand new today. We're all a little reluctant to meet, you know, somebody. And here's the thing. We're all a little worried that we're going to say to somebody, hi, is this your first time? And they're going to say, no, I'm one of the deacons. I've been here for, you know. Right. So, but we're worried that we're going to do that, or worse than that, that we're going to say, I don't think I've met you, have I? And they're going to say, you've met me 15 times in the last 3 months. You said this to me the last three Sundays. I don't think I've met you before. Oh, I'm so sorry. Do you mind if I sketch you just for a second? I'll carry that around. So I met somebody after service who came up, and before he could say what he was going to say, I said, okay, tell me your name. He said, I was going to come up to you and say, I'm part of Team Carbondale. I've been coming for months now, but I haven't met you yet. I know. And I knew where you sat and stuff, but I just didn't know what your name was. And then I came back in after and I said, now I got her name and the son's name. Well, what was that guy's name again? Do you remember who I'm talking about? Because my brain's got a lot of names in there. And so if I call you something that's not your name, just think, well, that's somebody's name. That's somebody's name anyway. I told him first service, you try that kind of mnemonic device, you know, you try to remember, you know, they tell you to remember, and there's some extraordinary formula for remembering people's names, you know, like I said, there was a guy named Dale Farmer. You kind of think, Farmer in the Dale, Dale Farmer, Farmer, I'll get that. And then you call him, hi-ho, hey, because you couldn't remember. Dario, what's your name again now? So Farmer. Okay, I got it. So the problem, it's not that we don't like you. We're just trying to figure out who everybody is. And so, and I'm approaching the time when people say, bless his heart. He doesn't. I'm looking forward to that. In fact, I may not be approaching it. I may have zoomed right on past it. Huh? So here's the deal. We're all, you know, again, we're all a little reluctant. You know, well, this is my first time here. Well, that's okay. Then stick your hand out and say, hi, it's my first time here. And somebody else may go, mine too. You know, who are all these people? Well, let's go meet somebody. So we'll figure out how to do that. But here's the thing. It's to the benefit of the whole body for us to be linked together. And so we're all going to have to move out of our comfort zone a little bit and make the effort to talk to one another and to meet one another. And referring back 2 weeks ago to that first sermon, it's the grown-up thing to do. So just kind of hit your britches up and go ahead and stick your hand out. And whether it's your first Sunday or 50th year, we're made better by connecting with each other. It's how the body of Christ works. So let's make the effort. So look around this morning. Do you know the person who's sitting next to you? Do you? Yeah? All right. If you don't know the person next to you, why don't you go ahead and just ask them. And you think, I ought to know his name. So everybody just go ahead and ask. That way, Mike, that's Karen. Karen, that's Mike right there. Yeah. Roy, Paula. Do you know the person that's sitting in front of you? Or behind you? Make sure you know. There won't be a quiz, but try to remember. Now I got 10 more minutes of a sermon, and then when I'm finished, I'm going to say, now turn around and say to, and you're already thinking, I forgot what she just said. What did the lady behind me say her name was? And here's the thing. Some of you are old enough that you think you're whispering and you're not. So watch it when you say that. Thank you. Just saying. He thinks I need a hearing aid. Can you imagine that? Shh. What? He thinks I need... Us old folk whispering. He thinks... You know, my wife doesn't talk as loud as she used to. That's my problem. I don't have a hearing problem. Yeah, I think that's a... I'd like to see a physician about that. Is that possible that as you get older, your voice gets softer? Come on, Nick. Help me out, brother. All right. I'll let you off the hook. Anyway, okay. I got to finish this sermon up here. Okay, so you met somebody today. How about that? I had somebody in the first service. I mentioned there's somebody here that had told me before service, if you know anybody that's looking for work, machinist work, we're hiring at my plant. And so I said, hey, if you're looking for a job, talk to Harold Cavan. And somebody came up afterwards and said, I got a grandson that's a machinist and he's looking for work. What was the name of that company? Who knows? We may have gotten somebody a job this morning. Connections are to our benefit, all of us, to be able to connect together. How are we going to do it? Try a Sunday school class next Sunday. Come at 9 and go to Sunday school, and then there's a smaller group. You're able to connect in there. Try a life group. And we need life groups, and we need more life groups, and we need life group leaders, and we need some life groups to multiply and to kind of launch out. We've got a life group right now that they've got a beautiful home they meet in, and they got a group. They need somebody to help kind of facilitate that group. If you'd like to help and lead a group, talk to Sarah after service. The body's healthier when we make the connection. So volunteer and connect. Make a point to connect with somebody. Next Sunday's the Diaper Bowl, and then the next Sunday night is the Super Bowl. We do this every year where the staff kind of says, are we having service? And I kind of agonize over it, and I feel like we're going to go to hell if we don't have service or whatever. I think I probably threw the letter away, but I remember an anonymous letter about you'd rather watch football than go to church. Well, no, and that was the year we were trying to have a Super Bowl party, you know, and nobody cares. And so anyway, and so I think, well, we'll go ahead and have it. And the six people that show up and me are kind of there. And here's the thing. I haven't watched probably a full quarter of the NFL this year because I'm just so torqued at the NFL. And I'm torqued at Roger Goodell. He needs to go somewhere else. I'm just saying. So I won't say this when we're live streaming. I'm just saying it this morning. So I just got tired of a bunch of spoiled people getting a whole lot of money. Anyway, you know, I have my reasons why I didn't watch. And then, oh, for crying out loud, that same team is in there again. And I just, you know who I'm talking about. And that just wears me out. And so, but here's the deal. I don't really care whether you watch the game, but I know a bunch of people get together on Super Bowl Sunday and they eat and they sit and talk or whatever. And you get invited to a Super Bowl party. So have a party and connect. So we won't have service next Sunday night and just do cheer that. I don't care who wins. I just want that one team to lose. And so. Thank you. At least he's cheering for the right team. First chance they've had to win a Super Bowl in a long time. Don't get me started. I was already rebuked by somebody that grew up in Massachusetts. I said, yeah, but you've been gone for years, so just give it a rest. Anyway, we got to finish this up. Listen, you know what I'm telling you. The body can't move if the ligaments aren't connecting the parts. If the right hand doesn't know the left hand, it's hard to lift the load. And the left hand's trying to pick something up and think, boy, if I just knew who to ask, if I just had another hand here, you know, oh, well, I do right there, but I just didn't know it. And so we connect with one another. We're better together. We're stronger together. We can accomplish more together. So introduce yourself. Meet somebody. Connect. Make the effort to connect. And then we have to value one another. We value all those parts. We take care of our parts. At least we should. We watch our blood pressure and our salt intake because we value our heart. Or we watch our sugar intake because we value our pancreas or whatever. We don't smoke, or at least we shouldn't, because we value our lungs and our respiratory system. In the same way, we're to recognize the value of the other parts of the body of Christ. So think about it for a minute. Can you think of a part of your body that you're willing to do without? Now, if your gallbladder's not working, you're willing to do without. And I'd like to do without 25 pounds. But every other part is important. And you're not willing to lose anything. It's like, well, I don't use that little part very much. No, I do. I value all the parts. So we value each other because we recognize the importance of the parts of the body. And it's important for us to be connected. We need to communicate that then in word and in action to all the other parts of the body of Christ. We need to be able through our actions and our words to be communicating that you are vitally important to this body. And that means you're vitally important to me because I'm part of this body too. And I'll suffer if you're not a part of this body. I'll suffer if your contribution, your gifts, your talent, your resources, your love, your testimony, your prayers are not a part. We all suffer. We just don't want to do without. So every time you start to think, well, it's not that important. It's not that big a deal that I'm at church or not. There's not a place for me at Carbondale. Think about your own body and ask yourself, well, what part today would I be willing to give up? Or what part of my body today would I say, I could make it through the day without that part being involved. There's not any part. I could do without my hearing today or with just one eye or whatever. No, every part's going to be important to you every day. And it's the same in the church. Every part, every role, every part is useful. Everybody has a role to play. Every time you think, well, it's just too much trouble to connect with other parts of the body of Christ. I don't want to meet anybody. I don't need any more friends. Stop and think about your own body. Is it too much trouble for your hand and your eye to coordinate and connect? It's pretty important so you don't poke your eye out. Aren't you better and richer and stronger because of the connections? Aren't you happy that here in a minute when I quit talking, you're going to go to lunch? And I'm happy that my hand holding a hamburger can coordinate and connect with my mouth. That's a good thing. We want to be able to make those connections. Well, we're all part of the body of Christ. We need to stay connected with each other. And if you've been missing some body parts, if you look around and think, you know, I haven't seen them in a while, you need to call them. Reach out and touch them. Tell them we're not the same without you. We're not functioning as well without you. We need you in the body of Christ. And if you've been trying to make it without being a part of the local church, this one or the one you've been connected to, you're not going to grow or thrive either because we all need to be connected, all right? All the parts have to stay connected, all right? So just an arm is not going to, you take your arm off at night, it's not going to do any good. It needs to be connected. Gail Irwin used to say, even the parts that we take out, they only function, they only work well when they're connected. So I remember him saying, you take your false teeth out and lay them up on the counter, but you don't set a banana out there in case it gets hungry during the night and you have a snack. Your teeth aren't going to eat unless they're connected to the rest of you, and then they can function. And that's how it is. You on your own, you're not getting anything out of this deal. We need to be connected. And here's the last thing. We have to love and care for each other. There's something wrong with a person that goes around punching themselves in the face or slamming their hand in the door. Because we love our body too much to harm it, and the same needs to be true for the body of Christ. We love and care for the body of Christ. Paul speaks of this kind of love when he talks about marriage as an analogy of the church. He says, in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies, because he who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church, for we're members of his body. Jesus cares about his own body, and we're to care about his body and the members of his body. We feed and take care of our body because we love ourselves. And as husbands, we're to care for our wives because as we care for ourselves. And as church members, we're to feed and care for and nurture the body of Christ because that's our body. That's the body of which we're a part. It's our own. So it serves our own interests as well as Jesus' best interests to help to nurture and care for the church. The church needs worldwide, needs to stop harming itself by attacking and judging and criticizing and gossiping about each other. We're not here to injure or hurt anyone. We're here to build each other up in love until we attain to the fullness of all Jesus has for us. So to kind of wrap this up, let me read again from that book, Without Spot or Wrinkle. There's no jealousy in the body. My appendix is not upset because it couldn't be a gallbladder. It's satisfied with being the appendix because it plays its role. There's no selfish ambition in the body. Instead, each part finds fulfillment in being what God created it to be within the body. So let's find our place and be what He needs us to be in the body of Christ. You're needed and you're important. Get in. Find a place to connect and be that part. And then there's no dissatisfaction in the body. The toe's glad to be the toe, glad to be a part of the body. And there's no leaving the body by any of its parts. The toe's not looking for a better body to join, move its way up the shin or whatever. Instead, the toe understands better than we that each part actually serves all the other parts. We don't throw wounded parts of the body away or abandon them because they're hurting or they're not so pretty. On the contrary, the body rushes to give aid to the wounded part, to assist and compensate, to bear the extra burden until that injured part is healed and back to full strength. One part of the body doesn't belittle another part or berate it because it's weaker. Instead, all of the body pulls together. Together we function. Together we're stronger. Together we accomplish each task. So if you see a part of this local body of Christ, if you see an area that's weak or an area that's struggling or that needs to improve, get involved. It's your body as well. It's to your benefit that you get involved and say, let's make this better because we're better together. And then finally, my identity is tied up with you because together we're part of the body of Christ. And how I act affects you, and how you act affects me. That's why it's important that I know you. That's why it's important that as members of the body of Christ, we share our lives together. That's why it's essential that we can trust each other and be real with one another. That's why it's important that we love, care for, honor, and support one another. We need each other because together we're members of the body of Christ. Together we'll serve and love one another. And when the world looks at us, they won't just see a collection of body parts. Instead, they'll see one body, His body, the body of Christ. So God help us to be the church, the body of Christ in this world. And with all of our weaknesses and all of our differences and all of our struggles, then our prayer is, God, help us to love one another and to find, purposefully, find ways to connect and to make that opportunity to link up and to link arms and to link hearts and to serve God and to serve one another and to be His church and His body in the world. So I want you to stand with me this morning. And Bryce, if you'll come back and the worship team here. And so this is, I said, well, this will be the cheesiest thing I've done in a long time. And a couple Sundays ago, we had a little bit of Kenny Loggins. This is it. It worked out at the end. Well, this is a little Diana Ross here, and my apologies to her because I rewrote the words. But I'm telling you, this is cheesy, and I know it is. But I did it on purpose because you'll walk out of here kind of humming that, and maybe you'll think about it. So, Diana Ross sang, reach out and touch somebody's hand, make this world a better place. So I kind of changed the word a little bit. Reach out and touch somebody's hand, make this church a better place if you can. And then borrow a little phrase from our former president on the next one, make this church a better place. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can do this. We can make this everything God intends for it to be because it's His will and we just have to work at it a little bit. So I would tell you to join hands, but it's cold and flu season. And so if you want to just maybe touch elbows or something, you know, but whatever we can do here, let's sing a little bit, all right?
Reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this church a better place. If you can, reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this church a better place. If we can, reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this church a better place. If you can,
now, don't just rush out of here. Go ahead and stop and talk to somebody. And if you talk to somebody and you say, boy, that was just weird. That's the weirdest person I ever talked to. Well, then maybe you're trying to connect to the wrong spot. Maybe you're in here trying to connect to the kneecap. Get back up there where the ear belongs, whatever. You'll find your spot. You'll find your people. You'll find your sweet spot. You'll find what you need because you can find it in the church of the Lord Jesus. Let's sing it one more time and you can pack yourself up. Let's do it again.
Well, reach out and